Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the CEO of Hertz is out after his bet on electric cars didn't play out well, and United Airlines has created a way for you to pool your miles to get a free ticket. Details next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, a reminder that you have 24 hours to cancel any ticket that you buy from a U.S. carrier without penalty. And Mark has a word of warning regarding internet searches and sponsored responses on them.
Two great interviews in the back half of the program today. At 3:35, an important warning, especially for younger travelers headed to Mexico or other exotic destinations for spring break, and some ways to protect yourself.
And at 3:45, author Joe Yorkhorst joins us to talk about his new book, 50 States and 1,000 Eats. Plus, Joe shares his opinion about one of our favorite subjects to kick around, that's tipping in restaurants.
We have a terrific show for you today, packed with ways to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to this week's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We're back.
We are. You know how much it costs to have that those people come in live every week at the end of the jingle there to applaud?
More than my education.
It's a lot of money, you know, and all that kind of stuff. How are you, Mr. Romano?
Doing well, enjoying a little bit of the last of what looks like maybe winter here with a little bit of rain over the last 24 hours.
Yeah,
not
we
much,
have
but
blossoms from the trees falling in our parking lot this morning. Looks like it snowed overnight. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How's your allergies?
I outgrew them. I used to have lots of allergies when I was a kid, but now I'm just allergic to work and a few other things. But hey, I went to an event last night. I just want to share for a second. Went back to my old high school. We won't go into that. But anyway, Mariloma High School. And they have an event every year where the kids in each class compete against each other. It's called Sports-O-Rama. It's not really pure sports. It's kind of, you know, adulterated sports contests and things like that. Of course, the seniors win most of the time because they're older and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was a really fun evening. I mean, I just watched these kids in my old stomping ground, so to speak. And what a cool event. They have it every year. And a full gymnasium of not only kids, but parents and, you know, kids in class who are not necessarily participating. Really, really a fun thing. Went to Washington, D.C. last week, too.
Right. And did you get to see some of our politicians? Did you? What was the main subject that you guys were talking about?
Well, U.S. Travel, which is an umbrella that kind of promotes, that is our liaison to the government in Washington, D.C. So when we need something, want something, whatever, so we go back there, they sit us down, say, look, here's a list of four or five things that we would like to see happen. International people, for example, people from Colombia right now have a 700-day wait just to get a visa interview. Just to get an interview. Not necessarily to get a visa. The World Cup is in roughly 800 days. So some of these people from other countries, if they don't apply really soon, they're not going to be able to come. What's really important about this is that the United States' number one product, the number one product that we make the most money on of any, quote, export, is foreign travelers. People who come here spend a truckload more money than we spend when we go there. So we make a huge profit on people who come to this country as tourists legally and leave when they're supposed to with visas and all that kind of jazz. And so, unfortunately, the system is not allowing people to be able to get into the country. So, or even to get an interview, to see, and even if you've been here before, you have to go through this rigorous process when, after all, if we know about you and you came and you behaved yourself and you left, why would we not maybe have a little bit of an expedited situation for that? We make a lot of money off these people. So, and it's great PR for our country. So it's kind of weird. That was one of the things. There were a few other issues that we, you know, they're called asks. You go into the congressional office and you say, here's what we are asking for. And then you throw in any other little thing, like when I went into Ami Barra's and Doris Matsui's office, I thanked the, you don't generally meet with the representative or the senator. You meet with their staff that handles the area that you're representing, which is really better anyway, because the representative wouldn't be able to give you a lot of attention, and the staff member can decide, you know, where you go on the priority list. So anyway, we thanked them for the fact that last year at this time, it was taking people between 12 and 16 weeks to get a domestic passport. I just renewed mine, and a staff member at Sports Leisure Vacations got his first passport. So we were a renewal and a new, and our passports came within 3 weeks. So it was nice to be able to go back to them and say, hey, you know, last year we came and asked you about this. You signed on to a document that said, hey, let's get our act together and do this better, and now it's working better. And so our domestic, our travelers who are going overseas, that's different from the equation we were talking about, don't have to wait as long, worry about whether or not they'll be able to make their trip, go to San Francisco, spend the night, pay an expedited fee to get their passport, all that kind of jazz. So if you're getting ready to renew a passport, just know that that situation has gotten a lot better. I don't encourage you to wait till the last minute, but we got ours back in 2 or 3 weeks. So anyways, we went around to the offices on the Hill. Everybody should be a citizen lobbyist once in their life. It's a screwball system back there. It doesn't always work perfectly. In fact, it never works perfectly. But it is our system. And if you go back there and you participate in it, you come away with a much better understanding of how it works or doesn't work, respectively, and that there are a lot of good people there who are really trying to get things done. There are some people who are not. But no matter what team you play for, and people who are in travel, we are basically bipartisan or nonpartisan. Most of the things we want, you know, are not things that require a lot of discussion or argument. They just require a little attention. And sometimes we can't get high enough up the pole to get that attention when people are ranting and raving, or they can't get the budget passed or something like that. So anyways, it was a great experience. I had a great time. Two great meetings with Kelvin and John from the two congresspeople's staff in our area here, Dr. Barra and Doris Matsui. You know, the Matsui family has represented us in Congress for, gosh, close to 50 years.
You bet. Robert first and her
husband. Yeah. So anyways, amazing. I've spent a lot of time on that. But the takeaway is, if you ever get an opportunity to go with a group to Washington, D.C. and play citizen lobbyist for a day, and you've never done it, do it. Because it will give you some understanding of how the system works, good, bad, or otherwise, and it's a great way to participate in the process.
And don't miss next year's Sports-A-Rama at Mariloma High School.
You bet.
And we are the Travel Guys. Catch us at travelguysradio.com. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's version of the travel news, here's Mark once again.
Today's version. It's a special version because no one else has it.
There you go.
Not to mention there are no other travel programs, I don't think, on the radio in Sacramento. I mean, anyhow, Hertz CEO got shown the door. We covered this story before. A man who was at Goldman Sachs for 30 years and was hired to be the CEO at Hertz, Stephen Scherr, was shown the door. He decided to put his bets on electric cars, and that really hasn't worked out well for Hertz. They're ditching the electric cars. There have been a lot of issues, people finding charging stations. They've cost more to fix, a lot of problems that have really bogged Hertz down, and so they got rid of the guy. So for those of you who are Hertz customers and you were thinking, Jesus, they ought to fire the guy who runs this place, well, he did.
Wow.
So you got your wish. Three Americans are suing the National Park Service over the agency's refusal to accept cash payments to enter parks in the United States. The folks are from California, New York, and Georgia. Filed the suit in federal court in Washington, D.C., saying the Park Service is violating federal law by not allowing guests to pay cash to enter parks, monuments, and historic sites. The lawsuit says the Park Service policy violates a U.S. law that says coins and currency are legal tender for all debts, public charges, taxes, and dues. Plus, on the dollar bill, doesn't it say something about legal tender? This is really kind of interesting because, of course, the Park Service and lots of other businesses are doing this to simplify things. They don't have to have cash drawers. It really simplifies their operation. It narrows down the possibility of theft and things like that. So in many cases, this is a system that's really good for the businesses. That's why they've adopted it. But by not accepting cash, I wonder about folks whose, you know, credit isn't good enough to have a credit card. Maybe they get a debit card or something. But anyway, these folks are suing the Park Service because they won't take U.S. currency to enter a federal government-run site. I think they have a fairly good point. I suspect there will be some sort of compromise here. Three college students in Cancun, Mexico. Their long-awaited spring break turned into a nightmare when they were confronted at their beachfront hotel and robbed at gunpoint. The students were from Florida State University. And they say that they researched their hotel, the area they were staying in Cancun. They thought they were safe, but the very first day of their trip, his daughter and two friends were confronted by the beach by four individuals armed with rifles. Told the girls that they had some choices. You can go to the airport and leave the country before getting your belongings, or you can go to jail and it won't be comfortable, or you can give us $300 apiece. The girls decided to give them $300 apiece, and they let one of the girls go back to the hotel room and get the money. But anyways, bad situation there. I mentioned this story not only because it came up and I wanted to share it with folks, but because on the back half of the program at 35 after the hour, we have a guest who is going to specifically address spring break and some of the destinations and some of the things that you can do to be on the alert for bad things that could happen. So if you're going someplace for spring break, you're going to have, you know, a little smoke, you're going to have a little drink, you're not going to be in total control of your facilities. These are some things to think about. And also another thing you could do is if you're leaving the country, enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. It's called STEP. There's a link at travelguysradio.com. Anytime you are leaving the country, you should enroll in this program. It tells the government where you are and what you're doing. So if there is a disaster, catastrophe, or something like that, there might be a better chance of folks being able to find you. A bipartisan bill is making its way through Congress supporting support for the Credit Card Competition Act. Credit card fees, people who own businesses know this. Credit card fees have been growing. Fees that used to be a percent or so in days of yore are now up to 3, or even my office tells me 3.5%, because people are getting all these wonderful bonuses and stuff on their cards, which of course the card issuers and the companies they're issued for then devalue, so they're not worth as much as you thought they were going to be when you were talked into getting the card. And so now some senators have stepped up, Republican and Democrat senators, have stepped up to the plate and said, look, there needs to be some more control here. These folks need to have somebody to answer to. There's no oversight. Consumers are basically getting skewered. You think it's a good deal because they're giving you these miles and points, but then when you go to redeem them, they aren't worth what they were when you got them, even though that was a short time ago. So maybe our government is about to do something good for us and lower the boom on credit card fees. Of course, what that might do is it might mean that those points and miles you're getting from the credit card company might not be flowing like they used to. So it would kind of change the business model of some airlines and stuff who have now started to admit that really, if you never fly on the planes, we don't care. Just get our credit card and use it every place. Here's a cool story. This man from Texas got onto a Delta Airlines flight using the photo of another passenger's ticket. He was supposed to fly on Southwest Airlines, and his flight was canceled. And he was rebooked, and his second flight was delayed. And so he wandered over the Delta area, and he started taking pictures of people, you know, how people have their boarding pass on their phone. So they're looking at their boarding pass. Well, he snuck up behind them and unobtrusively took a picture of their, took a screenshot
of their QR code.
Of their code that gets them on the plane. He used that to get on a flight.
What are you taking a picture of, sir?
Well, and so here's the problem. He would have been fine. He got on the plane and apparently hid out in the restroom for a while and until they boarded the flight. But the problem was the flight was completely full. So there was no seat for him to be able to go take. So now the flight attendants become very aware of the fact that they've got one more passenger than they have seats. It's like, sir, where's your boarding pass? Well, sir, that's not your boarding pass. That's a copy of a boarding pass from somebody else. He faces this charge of being a stowaway on an aircraft.
Wow.
He had been in Utah for a snowboarding trip. This guy is 26 years old, was trying to get back to his residence in Texas because he had family from Florida visiting. I give him lots of points for ingenuity.
Absolutely.
But it didn't end up well for him. Our friends at Travelers United did a survey. Do you think it's fair for airlines to raise the cost of checking luggage? How do you think this turned out?
That didn't go well.
Didn't go well, yes. 87% of the people said it just seems like a money grab on the part of the airlines.
Yeah.
6% said yes, as long as passengers don't have to pay for carry-on luggage. 7% said yes, as the cost of everything has gone up. So let's make sure that those baggage handlers on the ramp are making a lot more money and getting some of that extra $5, because, after all, their cost of living has gone up too. Probably not. Last item here in a long newscast. United Mileage Plus has a new miles pooling feature that they're letting members pool their miles in limited situation. You can join a group. You can be a pool leader, invite up to four of your family or friends to join the pool. You have to have an active Mileage Plus account. So this is a way to grow the ranks of Mileage Plus people. But you can pool miles under certain circumstances. You have 10,000. Somebody else has 10,000. Somebody else has 10,000. One of you had a relative pass away, and all of a sudden you need a ticket, and you can't pay for it. Now you've got the miles from your friends and stuff. Kind of a cool feature. So if you are a Mileage Plus member of United, you might be able to share miles with someone else in order to create a free ticket. You can find details on their website, and that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Again, travelguysradio.com. By the way, we had promoted that we were going to talk all about river cruising. We're going to have an interview with the company American River Cruises, but that's going to happen next week. We apologize, but we will get to it next week. And thanks for tuning in. If you tune in for that, we'll try to make sure we entertain you and make you smarter in other areas today. All right, a quick reminder, every Monday, a couple of days from now, Rudy's Hideaway is still offering their two for $65 dinner special. And the options for a great meal include these choices, lobster tail, prime rib, filet. It took me a while to get this one, filet bourguignon. It doesn't look like that, but that's what it is. Chicken marsala, golden fried prawns, and each entree includes Boston clam chowder, baked potatoes, vegetables, sourdough bread, and, well, there you go. And that's every Monday. And
more food than you can possibly eat would be my suggestion. Four meals for the price of two. And you can, if you go into Rudy's and you mention the Travel Guys, you can get the Travel Guys special, a 6-ounce lobster tail with all the trimmings for $29.95. That has got to be, it has to be, the best dining deal in town. I know people who tell me now they're going every week to get lobster at Rudy's. Also, Rudy's is open for lunch Tuesday through Friday from 11:30 to 2:30. So you can stop by and have lunch. They have a great prime rib sandwich and all kinds of delicious items on the menu for lunch. So it doesn't have to just be dinner. You can hit Rudy's at lunchtime.
And don't forget Rudy's Hideaway, located right off Highway 50 on Hazel. You can see their sign from the freeway. All right. Smarter Traveler segment is next right here on the Travel Guys. Saturday, 11 a.m. to make you a smarter traveler. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Okay, Mark, let's get to it. Let's make people smarter travelers.
I love that bumper music with the chipmunks in the background. Special thank you to, before we do that, special thank you to one of our listeners, Nancy, dropped a nice note to the Travel Guys and said that she went to the Big Island of Hawaii and stayed at the King Kamehameha Hotel and had the luau there, which is something that we have talked about and endorsed a couple of times over the years. She said she had a great time and thanked us for our recommendations that she listens to us every week. So thank you, Nancy. I thought I would, and that all, and also to remind folks that our website, which had been broken for a week or so, you couldn't send us questions or notes or anything. It's back working again. Thank you to Sarah for fixing that for us. Couple of quick things here in this short edition of the Smarter Traveler segment. What are you eating?
Oh, I made a muffin for breakfast. Actually, my bride did. And I'm sorry. I shouldn't eat on the radio.
That's
you
okay.
Weren't supposed to tell her. Thanks for ratting on me. Holy crap. I can't even have a bite of a muffin hiding in my little studio at home.
I looked up. Tom's at his
all
house.
All over the radio.
And I'm in my office. We're on FaceTime so we can see each
what
other.
What are you not wearing?
I look up. And I'm wearing everything. I look up and Tom's got a mouthful of something. Anyways, two quick things here in our Smarter Traveler segment before I waste all the time away. Remember that if you buy a domestic airline ticket and you buy it at least 7 days in advance of departure, you have a 24-hour window in which to cancel that reservation without any charge. If you buy it from the airline or even if you buy it from a third party, within 24 hours, the rule is that you can cancel it without any penalty. You don't have to accept a voucher or a certificate or something for future traveler. It doesn't matter what happened or why. Within 24 hours of when you booked it, not by midnight the next day, but literally within 24 hours, it's been on the books for more than a decade, and it's a rule that protects you. So remember that. If you can, you have 24 hours to cancel any domestic airline ticket that's at least 7 days before departure. Also, one other thing I wanted to tell you, and this is based on my own recent experience when I flubbed something up. Beware of sponsored sites when you're shopping travel on the Internet. Oftentimes, you pull up United Airlines or Air Ticket to Boston, and you will see that it will bring you up a whole bunch of sites, and it'll say United Airlines, American Airlines, but look for the word sponsored at the top of the ad, because those are people who paid to be up at the top, TripAdvisor and Booking.com and stuff like that. So you may not be getting, look for the words official website, click on it, and make sure it's the website for the travel entity you want, airline, hotel, attraction, whatever. Because if you book with one of these third-party sites, you may find that if something happens and you have to cancel, they may not have the same cancellation policies as the attraction or the airline or the car rental or the hotel or something like that. Beware of the word sponsored. Any time that you're on the Internet, not just for travel, but for anything, it means that somebody has paid to be there and it might not be the product you're looking for.
All right. We are the Travel Guys coming up after a short timeout. How to keep you safe when you go on spring break to Mexico and other exotic destinations here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, always here to make you a smarter and, in many cases, a safer traveler. Thanks for joining us. Our special guest today that Mark has rounded up is Christina Tunna. She is the GM with a company called World Nomads. Mark, tell me how you ran across Christina and what we're going to talk about today.
Hey, Christina, you can probably fill us in on this. It appears as though a lot of young people, a lot of destinations that are popular during spring break, places like Mexico and Jamaica and Bahamas and stuff like that, some of these places right now in time are not the safest places to visit. And it appears as though a lot of our soon-to-be vacationing young friends are not maybe paying attention to some of the warnings here. And not only does that put them in jeopardy, but also their dollars in jeopardy. So please tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you're right. These destinations have been seeing an increase in reported violent crimes or petty theft. And so it really is important that the traveler, whether they be a young person on a college spring break or even families heading to these destinations, that they just keep their wits about them. And I like to really summarize it into three simple words. Situational awareness, well, that's two words, but just be aware of your surroundings. Avoid those areas where some of these activities might be reported to be happening. And the third word is depart. If you're sensing that something is not right or potentially dangerous, depart from that area.
So what you're kind of sort of hinting at here is, Christina, is that if you're going someplace to just be on a nonstop party, your watch is going to be down. You may not be noticing things that you would otherwise notice because you went someplace just to have a good time. And do you have any specific ideas, anything that we can share with our people? I mean, you've talked about situational awareness here. Know what's going on around you. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Absolutely. And this applies to any type of traveler going to these destinations. Leave your bling at home. Do not bring your most expensive clothes or jewelry or gear or tech. You put yourself at great risk of being targeted. And particularly if you're going out and about and doing some adventure activities such as water sports or just flopping on the beach, keep that to a minimum. Just bring a very simple bag, a towel, and your hotel key. Let people know, whether it be the front desk or other travelers that you're with and maybe doing something separate from them, let them know what you're doing that day so that they're aware of where you're going, but also when to expect you back. And if you are going to be doing adventures outside of your resort, make sure that you try and book that transportation through the hotel where they have vetted those drivers or those operators who might be offering these types of off-piste adventures. And more than anything, I was just going to say, you know, a lot of young people, as well as older people like us, we do like the odd drink. But just be mindful that, you know, sometimes drinks can be spiked, or in some countries they are unregulated alcohol, so it could be tarnished. So be very careful about what you drink.
Yeah, would you recommend, and if you have the opportunity, and I would imagine you would, to provide your own adult beverages or beverages, period, wherever you might be, if you can?
Yeah, some families or kids might get an apartment, an Airbnb, or have a refrigerator in their hotel room. So, you know, go to the supermarket, and that could be a way to stock up on stuff, quite possibly. Or if that's not an option and you're ordering a beer from a bar, try and make sure that they open that bottle in front of you so that there is no opportunity for anything untoward to be slipped in there. And also, just speaking on being aware, if you're intoxicated or under the influence of other medications or drugs, you are not putting yourself in this situation that keeps you safe. And if something does happen to you, insurance typically does not cover you if you are under the influence.
Christina, are there any top three, top five places right now that you would tell people just to avoid altogether?
Well, you know, that's a hard one because the situation changes all the time, right? A lot of these destinations and resorts are putting on extra forces or protection. So, for example, in Tulum, they have the National Guard station there. In Cabo, they've got security at the marina where some of these situations have spikes, so they're putting extra security. In Cancun, they have lifeguards now to sort of help with natural dangers such as riptides. So it does move all the time, so it's hard to kind of pinpoint one place and then know that a week later they've actually kind of cleaned up their act and are putting on precautionary measures.
Christina, great, great, great information there. I mean, really, what you're saying applies. A lot of it applies to people who travel just about anywhere. Situational awareness and stuff like that. Before we let you go, your company, World Nomads, has a way for people to be able to protect. This is very common. I'm a tour operator. It's very common in my industry. Most people will take cancellation protection because they're older folks when they're going on a long-distance tour where there might be a serious loss if they couldn't go at the last minute. Younger people, maybe not so much, but point out to them what is your product and why it might be worth considering.
Well, we're World Nomads, and we have been protecting travelers of all ages, but we started with this youth demographic. We've been doing it for 20 years, so it is reasonably priced. There's good value in there depending on your duration. It can be as little as $53 for a trip. Again, it depends on how long you're going for. But we do offer really well-priced, affordable protection for young travelers to make sure that they're adding that to their budget for wherever they might be going so that they can be that much extra safe when they do go on their trips.
What does your $53 get you, Christina?
Our policies are what we call bundled, so it would cover trip cancellation, trip interruption, your bags, medical emergencies. Obviously, the limits will vary depending on which plan you get, but that is sort of a bundled offering that protects your person, your stuff, and your investment in your trip. That's sort of the three broad categories that a bundle plan would cover.
So if you're considering or you've already scheduled a spring trip of some type of in the category that we're talking about, at travelguysradio.com you will find a link to World Nomads. My suggestion to you is that you take the 10 minutes or 15 minutes and go there and check out what they have to offer. You might not decide that it's an appropriate add-on for this particular trip, but it would be something to be aware of for future adventures. So, Christina, thank you very much. Some great tips there and a way to be able to protect your investment if you need to. Be well. We'll talk to you again on the Travel Guys.
And remember now, you can reach World Nomads by going to travelguysradio.com. We'll have a link for you there. By the way, a quick reminder, we had promoted that we were during the week that we were going to have a conversation and an interview in regards to river cruises in America. That's going to happen next week. We apologize, but that will be on next Saturday's show between 11 and 12. Okay. Mark, you rounded up an interesting guy who has a fun book.
Yeah.
Tell us briefly about it before we take a break.
Yeah, Joe wrote a book, 50 States, 1,000 Eats, and he's got some great stuff in it. He's going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to have a conversation. We were wrapping up the interview and just asked Joe a little bit about a couple of things that are on our mind from time to time, one of them tipping. And he had some very interesting comments that I think you'll enjoy. That interview coming up next, right after this break here on The Travel Guys.
Mark and Tom, The Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember now, you can find links to our special guests at travelguysradio.com.
And we have a special guest for you. If you like to travel and you like to eat, I see all the Sports Leisure travelers raising their hands out there. I know the importance of how much food can add cultural things, specialty things, just yummy things when you're traveling. So Joe Yogerst is on the phone. Joe has a new book out. It is called 50 States, 1,000 Eats, where to go, when to go, what to eat, and what to drink.
Wow.
I'm guessing there probably are not very many people listening to this program right now who don't fit into one of those categories of knowing what to eat, what to drink.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yes, we all have to drink something at some time, especially when we're on vacation. And we like to eat and drink good stuff, and that's what this book is all about.
And so, Joe, you've mentioned in your book here, you've got some quirky things. And one of them, I'm working on a trip for Alabama right now for a group, and I just came back from there a few months ago. You've got Alabama's famous white barbecue sauce. What's that all about?
Yes, that's right. Very different. It goes on to chicken wings. They're called Alabama white wings. They're pretty spicy. And it was invented back in the 1920s by Big Bob Gibson in Decatur, Alabama, who had his own restaurant, and decided he wanted to do something a little bit different with his fried chicken and make the wings a bit more palatable. I guess that people were asking for legs and thighs, but not wings. And he came up with this sauce that's horseradish, vinegar, cayenne pepper, and mustard powder, which really has a kick to it.
Wow.
And that became popular down there long before we knew about buffalo wings from upstate New York.
So in your book, there are all kinds of things like this famous white barbecue sauce from Alabama. Am I on right track here?
Yeah.
Joe, you've got some bests listed here. The information I have doesn't tell me what they are, but best breakfast, best steak, best multi-course gourmet meal. Tell us about some of your bests.
I've had a lot of great breakfasts, but you tend to think of one that not just the food is great, but also the atmosphere in the company. And the best one was in Marfa, Texas, at a tiny little place out in the middle of nowhere called the Water Stop that I came across by accident. I had just been camping on the Rio Grande in South Texas with my youngest daughter. We left to drive back to our home in California. It was just, the sun was just coming up over the desert. We found this little place called the Water Stop. Tex-Mex, scrambled eggs, biscuits and gravy, sun coming up over the desert, great company. That's the breakfast that I really remember. Best steak, funny enough, Alberta, Canada is famous for beef, and I think the best steak I've ever had was the 1888 Chop House at the Banff Springs Hotel in the Canadian Rockies.
Wow.
It is a famous hotel, and usually hotel restaurants aren't not necessarily great, but
exactly.
You know, this was just filet mignon that melted in your mouth. It was really amazing. I've had a lot of good multi-course meals, you know, tasty menus and things like that. One that really sticks out is one that's not familiar. It was a Japanese restaurant in Boston called Oya, and it was a 20-course omakase tasting menu. With tiny little plates that are almost like pieces of art. You're almost afraid to eat them or even touch them. They're so beautiful. That's a tasty menu that really stands out. So I would say those are the three.
Joe, how did you decide? I mean, first of all, what did you do? Just hit the road? I mean, is this a compilation of a lot of travels, or is this something that you did over a short period of time? How did you create the book, and how did you decide what to put in it?
I had a year to write the book, so it wasn't possible to visit and eat at 1,000 places in a year. And the editors knew that, so it's really a group effort, a team book. So I asked family and friends, I asked other journalists and broadcasters that I knew around the country. I hit up the National Geographic editors and designers who live mostly in the D.C. area, but come from all over the place about their college towns, their hometowns.
Joe, is this book available online as well as in a hard copy?
Yeah, it's available at Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble website. I always like to plug local independent bookstores if you want to buy it, you know, in person.
Good man. All right, we will put a link to Joe's book at travelguysradio.com. So if you are interested, I'm looking at a copy here. There's about a gazillion pictures in here. Joe, I'm probably going to put this in my carry-on bag on my next road trip because there's got to be dozens and dozens and dozens of great ideas. What a resource that you've created for people like me. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there'll be a link to Joe's book there, and then you can decide if it's something that you would like to add to your collection. Joe, some great information about your book there, but before we let you go, obviously you've been in a lot of restaurants, a lot of dining situations. There's a topic these days that's just really on the tip of everybody's tongue when it comes to dining out in restaurants, and it's tipping. Do you have any thoughts or feelings on that topic?
My personal opinion, I think it's out of control. And I think it's, to a large extent, we're forced into doing it because it's right there and we're at the counter or wherever it is, or with the little credit card machine that's at your table, and the guy is like, the server is looking right at you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you're almost shamed into tipping higher than you would normally. And also because they have these little machines that say 18, 20, 22, or 25, it's like trying to figure out what 15 is just not worth it. If it's $100, I can figure out what 15% is. But,
right.
You know, I just think it's a ridiculous situation now. Almost everyone I know thinks the same, unless they're a restaurant server, and then they love it. And, you know, restaurants should pay a living wage. Would our food bill be higher? Yeah. But it's like, what really drives me crazy also is airlines nickel and diming people, you know, for picking a seat or choosing a window seat or an aisle seat or checking your bag or trying to get a blanket on an overnight. You know, I just put it in the frickin' cost of the ticket or put it in the cost of the meal rather than having these kind of weird situations where you have to figure it out at the end or get pissed off because you feel like you're tipping too much or you don't have a choice. So, I think tipping's out of control, just like I think airline extra charges are out of control. I lived overseas for 13 years, and I lived in parts of the British Empire, the former British Empire, you know, the London, Hong Kong, Singapore, and South Africa, where tipping is practically non-existent in a lot of cases. Like at an English pub, you know, at least when I was living there, you did not tip. A lot of them were, you know, owner the barman owned the place, so you know he took all the profit. But I just got to, you know, not tipping a lot or tipping 5 or 10% at restaurants in Hong Kong and Singapore. So So I come back to California, and it wasn't out of control. It was still 70% when I came back here. But I think COVID has really blown up restaurant. You know, restaurant owners lost a lot of money in COVID, sure. But so did the rest of us, right? I was put on hiatus by National Geographic. And so they're trying to make up for it by charging a lot more for meals, to the point where my wife and I don't go out at home nearly as much as we did before. You know, we had one local restaurant we used to go to a lot, and they literally doubled the price for the same amount of food and drink from before COVID. And I can only feel so bad for you if you're doubling the price. I cannot ask National Geographic to double what I get for a book because I missed out on a book during COVID. And I think a lot of us are in that same boat. But restaurants really, at least here where I live in Southern California, they really try to get away with that. So, you know, a good night out now is the fish taco place where they're still $1.09, or In-N-Out Burgers where two people can eat a lot for $20.
Isn't it amazing? In-N-Out is like a big brand, and yet their prices have remained far more reasonable than the McDonald's across the street. It's just kind of interesting. Joe, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning.
Sure. Thanks to both of you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Boy, that was fascinating. Can you imagine, first of all, I appreciate all of his comments right in line with us in regards to tipping, but 50 states, 1,000 meals. You know, I could easily do a food tour as a vacation. It really would have not as much to do with sightseeing as it is from dining. I come back looking like, you know, the Goodyear blimp. But
folks who travel who take the type of product that my company sells, we sell tours for small groups. And one of the highlights is our job is to find places that are really cool and or really fun or really great food or something like that. So I'm going to use his book as... I've already taken it home, and I'm going to use it as a huge resource. Hey, a couple of things that I wanted to just alert folks to here at the end of the show. We talked about United Airlines allowing people to combine miles in the travel news. They have a new seat alert feature that some folks online are kind of raving about, so I just wanted to point it out here. United, if you purchase a seat that you don't want, you know, you can't get an aisle seat, so you take a window or a middle or something like that. You tell them what it is that you're looking for. If it becomes available, they will let you know. Of course, it may cost you a little bit more money, but nonetheless, being able to get the seat that you want is kind of important to people on airplanes. And if you're willing to pay up, why, United is willing to help you find out. And also another little tip here that I wanted to share with folks. This came from Travelers United, and the title of the article is Don't Forget to Secure Carry-On Bags Overhead. You know, Travelers United is something that you can access. It's travelersunited.org, and there's a link on our website. They have all kinds of these great newsletters and articles that will really help make you a smarter traveler. This one, they're talking about securing carry-on bags overhead, and you say, well, gee, you know, I'm sitting right below my bag, but think about it, you're not always sitting right below your bag. I've seen people who are in row 30. The flight attendant is, there's no space for carry-on bags past row 15. So somebody hears that, they're getting on board, they see a spot, they put their bag up at row 10, they go back and sit at row 30. Somebody else sees that happen, they get up ostensibly to get up something out of their own bag, and really what they're doing is rummaging around in yours, and you're in the back of the plane, you can't see it. Or you're asleep, and you've got a window seat, and the person can see that you're out of it, and you're not noticing it, and you can't see what they're doing, in many cases, in that overhead. So if you put things in the overhead like cash, you know, you take the cash out of your pocket when you're going through TSA, and you stick it in a side thing, and you forget that it's there, and you get on the plane, and it's not till you get off, and you say, hey, where's my money? Oh, yeah, I put it in my carry-on. Well, don't do that. Make sure you put it back on your person or anything of great value, like a passport or something like that. You really should be carrying on your person. You'd think that theft from an overhead bin on an airplane would not happen very often, and it probably does not. But nonetheless, the possibility is for it to happen, and people who are looking to do things like that, they're smart enough to be watching for situations when you put your bag up in a separate area from where you are sitting.
All right. We are the Travel Guys winding it down here. I want to remind you, next week we will be talking about American River Cruises. So be sure to join us for that.
We absolutely will. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next week here on The Travel Guys.
Thanks for joining us, my friends. Stay well. See you next week.